Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Pamela Brewer welcoming you to this edition of Thoughtful Thursday. Thoughtful Thursday is the day that we bring you new information for you to think about in perhaps a different way to expand your take on the world in which we live. Today's guest is bound to open up some brand new areas of thought for you. I'm very pleased to introduce Dr. Bradley Nelson, who is author of The Emotion Code, How to Release Your Trapped Emotions for Abundant Health, Love, and Happiness. Dr. Bradley Nelson, welcome to Mind Talk.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brewer. I am thrilled to be here.
Now, Dr. Nelson, you are described as a holistic chiropractic physician and medical intuitive. What exactly is a medical intuitive?
Well, a medical intuitive is basically just someone who looks beyond the normal way of looking at things and has developed their intuitive abilities so that they can tell people what is really going on with them. And during all the years that I was in my brick-and-mortar practice, 17 years, I was really obsessed with figuring out what was really wrong with my patients, you see. And so during those years, I figured out that you can actually get information from the subconscious mind. It's the most powerful computer in the known universe. The conscious mind is where we live and make our decisions, but we forget things all the time. We get in trouble because we forget things. The conscious mind is like a computer with a very small amount of memory. But the subconscious mind is this holographic archiving computer, and it's remembering everything that's going on with us all the time. And the whole history of your health or disease is logged in that subconscious mind. And it knows everything about what is needed to get you completely well and abundant and happy. And the fascinating thing about this is that when we tap into the subconscious mind, and that, by the way, that's what's in the emotion code. Part of it is that we teach anyone how to get information out of that subconscious mind. Because otherwise, if we don't, we're really just guessing. And most of Western medicine is based on guesswork.
Indeed.
If you've got some kind of a, right?
Absolutely.
If you have a symptom, you know, we give you some kind of a drug and we see how that works. And if it doesn't work, we try something else. Meanwhile, the subconscious mind, the whole entire time, knows exactly, with a perfect understanding, I believe, down to the cellular level and even beyond that, exactly what a person needs. So that was what I based my practice on. And it worked so well that during the last 10 years of my practice, I was primarily working with people that have been told there was no cure for them. They've been given up on by Western medicine. And yet the vast majority of those people were able to get well because I was tapping into that internal computer system. And I think that this understanding is really going to change everything in years to come, because it's going to change how we look at the body. The body is extraordinarily intelligent, really, and it knows what it needs. Well, during all those years, the fascinating thing that I found was, no matter what my patients were suffering from, whether it was back pain or neck pain or migraine headaches or asthma or digestive disorders or infertility or depression or anxiety or phobias or panic attacks or PTSD, no matter what they were suffering from, no matter how old they were, what I found was they always had something in common. And what they had in common was what we typically refer to as emotional baggage. We say things, right, sometimes, Pamela, like, oh, you know, that guy's just got a lot of emotional baggage.
Exactly.
Right? Not realizing there is a profound truth there, and it has to do with energy medicine. And, of course, energy medicine really is nothing more than simply understanding that that the human body is an energy field, a very complex energy field. Quantum physicists have been telling us that for over 100 years now. But first of all, understanding that the body is an energy field, and then working with the body and taking care of it for what it really truly is. So here's what happens to us. First of all, we experience different emotions in our lives, and sometimes different emotions are very powerful and we'd rather not experience them. Sometimes we go through intense emotional events. And during those times when we're feeling those intense emotions, the energy of that emotion can become trapped in the body. Now, understand, this is a very different way to look at emotions, but what we believe on an energetic level, on a quantum level, when you're feeling an intense emotion of anger, you're feeling a certain energy, a certain frequency. Every emotion, we believe, has its own specific frequency or vibration. Anger is different from frustration, and that's different from hatred, and shame is different from helplessness, and so on. They're all different. When you're feeling an emotion very powerfully, the energy of that emotion can actually become trapped in a way in the body. It took me a long time to figure this out, but because these trapped emotions are literally invisible. But I'll always remember many, many years ago when I was first researching this, there was a woman who came into me and thought she was having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And she had difficulty breathing and crushing chest pain. The left side of her face was numb. Her left arm was completely numb. And she had difficulty breathing. And I told my staff, we might need an ambulance. But I did some testing with her. And what I found was that she had a trapped emotion of grief. Now, in the emotion code, we teach how you can get this information. It's very, very fast, very simple, very easy. Anyone can do it. We have kids doing it as young as 6 years old. But I found that she had this trapped emotion of grief. And so I asked some more questions and found that this had occurred 3 years before. When I arrived at that, she suddenly burst into tears. And she said, I can't believe that's affecting me still. I thought I dealt with all that. And I said, well, what happened to you? She said that 3 years before, her husband had an affair. And it broke her heart, and she cried buckets of tears, and it led to her divorce. And she spent a year in therapy, put it all behind her, and had recently been remarried, gotten remarried. And so she, as far as she was concerned, that ex-husband was ancient history. But as far as her body was concerned, no, it was like it had just happened. And I released that emotional energy from her, which is very, again, just takes a few seconds, and the feeling came back into her arm and into her face within about 3 seconds. Whoosh. And the difficulty breathing, the chest pain was all gone. And she left the office 10 minutes later, as happy as could be. And she's never had another problem with her heart area, no chest pain, nothing. And it's been about 27 years now. And she's still fine. I'm still in touch with her. Now, if you think about that, when she left my office, by the way, I remember sitting down at my desk, and I was absolutely just flabbergasted. I couldn't imagine how an emotion could cause symptoms like that. But, of course, now we know, don't we, Pamela, that people die all the time of what's now called cardiac syndrome.
Absolutely.
Or you die of a broken heart.
What's interesting, though, is as you're describing this, It halfway sounds like it's impossible, and the other half of it sounds like, well, this has got to be magic. And then the third half of it, if you will, sounds like it's just impossible. This is just impossible.
Well, you know, flight was supposed to be impossible for a long, long time. And
very true.
I recently got my pilot's license. So, you know.
Don't be so sure that what you think is impossible is, in fact, impossible.
Well, exactly right, C. And what happened with me was I have had in my life, I've had some really profound spiritual experiences that have helped me to understand that there is a God in heaven, there's a higher power, and we are greatly loved, and we're all children of a loving God. When I got into practice, which, by the way, was an answer to prayer, I got in the habit of asking for God's help with each person that I saw. I would just take a moment, and this is a totally private thing. No one ever knew I was doing this, but I would just take a moment and ask for help and just direct my thoughts to heaven, and that would be it. And I'll tell you something. There were times, Pamela, especially during the last 10 years that I was in practice working with all of those helpless people, where someone would come in with something that I didn't know how to deal with or I didn't know how to approach, and I would offer that silent prayer, and the information about what that person needed would literally flood into my mind. It was the most incredible thing, and sometimes the information would be about a completely different way to look at things than what I had ever even imagined before. But you see, what's happening now is this work, the emotion code, it's spreading all over the earth. We have we have people now in over 200 countries that are doing this work. We get testimonials literally every single day from people all over the world, different countries, who are finding out, yes, this works. It's very simple. In fact, let me tell you a story. I was talking with a woman recently. Talk about impossible. Listen to this one. This is true, but amazing. This woman told me that she bought the Emotion Code book and bought the book on audio and started reading it and listening to it. And her son picked it up and started reading it and listening to it as well. And he started practicing with his friends. And she didn't pay much attention, but a couple of weeks later, the phone rang. And the woman on the other end of the line identified herself as the mother of one of her son's friends. And she said, listen, she said, your son's been doing this emotion thing with the other boys. And she said, I haven't really paid much attention. However, she said, something really dramatic has happened. She said, my son has had a phobia of water all of his life. And we've taken it to different people. Nothing has ever worked. She said, right now, my son is swimming in the swimming pool with the other boys for the first time in his entire life. She said, your son did this to him. She said, I cannot wrap my mind around this. What in the world is he doing? How is this even possible? Those two boys are only 11 years old.
11.
That's how powerful. Yep.
That's
how powerful
amazing.
And how simple this is, you see. Anybody can do it.
All right. Well, let me ask you some questions about this. Mm-hmm. You're saying that when people have extreme, is it only negative emotions that can get trapped in the body?
Well, I would say probably 98% of the time it is the negative emotions.
Okay.
That get stuck in the body. Yes. Sometimes, if you win the lotto, for example, and you get proposed to the same day and you get the big promotion, there's an emotion that that we call overjoy. It's just, you can be giddy with excitement. Any extreme of emotion can become trapped in the body. That one's more rare. Most of them are negative. We have a list of 60, 59 are negative.
Okay. And are there some emotions that are more likely to get trapped than others? Is it the emotion itself, or is it the intensity of the emotion that can determine or predict what will get trapped in the body?
Well, if I look at our list, we have a list of 60 emotions. I would probably think that there are certain emotions. Heartache is a pretty common one. Despair, worry, hopelessness is pretty common. Low self-esteem, grief, rejection, sadness, of course, guilt, panic is fairly common, anger, fear. There's a particular emotion called creative insecurity that I'm always glad to be able to release, because it's a particular emotion that it has to do with the act of creation. It's a feeling of insecurity about creating something. And I think that this one has caused more poverty for more people than probably any other emotion, because our lives are all about creating. Shame, we believe, is the lowest of all the emotions, the lowest vibration. And we're not alone in that, but we believe that when people are in a state of abject shame, oftentimes they'll take their own lives because there's no lower vibration. There's no lower emotion that they can graduate downwards to. That's the lowest vibration of emotion that there is.
So it sounds like that would be the most painful emotion. Or is that what you're, when you say the lowest level of vibration, is that the most painful emotion, the most enveloping emotion? I'm not sure what you mean when you say lowest level.
Well, the lowest vibration. Remember that all the emotions have a certain vibration.
Okay.
Joy is probably, pure, absolute joy is, on one end of the scale. And then abject shame, we think, is the other one at the other extreme end. And then everything else is somewhere in between on that scale.
I see.
But the fascinating thing about this, too, is that we have found that this works extremely well, profoundly well, with animals as well. And the nice thing about that, you see, is that there's no placebo effect with animals. It just works, and they just get better. What we find is that 9 times out of 10, just like with human beings, nine times out of 10 with an animal, whether its problem is behavioral or whether its problem is some kind of a physical issue like lameness and so on, it's about trapped emotions. In fact, let me tell you a story. I was, unless we're coming up on a break here,
You've got about 2 minutes. Well, you've got a little bit more than 2 minutes, so let's hear the story.
Okay, great. Well, I was called to work on a horse one day.
On a horse?
On a horse.
Okay.
It was a horse that was having a problem. It was having lameness in its hind quarters. One of its legs wasn't working right. And they had a couple of vets come and look at it, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong, so they called me. So I came to look at this horse, and what I found, and I can tell you more about how we work with animals, it's really simple, but what I found was that this horse had an emotion of sadness. And so I tested to see if the sadness was about a human being, and the answer was no. Was it about another horse? No. Was it about a dog or a cat? No. And I'm kind of running out of ideas, and a bird happens to fly overhead right at that moment. And so I thought, well, let's ask about this. So I asked if it was about a bird. And this probably sounds totally crazy. And I would always get a group of people standing around watching me do this because the results were always immediate, and it always worked, but it was so different from anything that anyone had ever seen before. But what I found was this horse had sadness about a bird. That came back very strongly. And there was a crowd of people gathered around, and they all burst out laughing, and so did I, because it just seemed so comical that a horse would have sadness about a bird. But the owner of the horse was there, and she said, wait a minute. I'll bet you I know what this is about. The week before, there was a baby bird that fell out of its nest and fell down onto this little roadway that happened to be immediately in front of this horse's stall. And this baby bird struggled for its life and died. And the horse was a mute witness to this whole tragic event and was overcome with the emotion of sadness because of this. It was powerless to help, overcome with sadness. That emotion became trapped in the horse. I released that emotion, and that was all I needed to do.
Okay,
just took a few seconds. They took the horse out, walked it, totally fine. I can tell you stories about animals all day.
I got to tell you, you know, as you're talking to me about you're asking this horse, and I'm thinking about, you know, the Mr. Ed from like 1,000 years ago.
Right, Mr. Ed.
And
that's not quite how we do it.
You know, it's kind of, I'm incredulous, and I've read your book, and I'm incredulous to hear you describe being able to identify and release a trapped emotion in an animal. How does the animal give you information about what's going on with the animal?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. Of course, animals don't speak English, so we can't just ask them. However, what we can do is we can tap in to the subconscious mind of the animal and get answers. Now, let me explain to you how this is actually done. If I were there with you, Pamela, if you were to hold your arms straight out, parallel to the floor, and if you were to make a true statement like, "My name is Pamela," if you were to resist my downward pressure as I'm pressing down on your arm, you'd be able to resist me. Your arm would be strong. However, if you were to say something incongruent or untrue, like "my name is Bob," your arm would weaken and your arm would go down. And you can test this. You can try this with anybody. This is it's just a form of kinesiology that has been known about for a long time now. The human body responds. When you say something true or untrue or incongruent or congruent or false or, you know, negative, whatever it is, what happens is there's a reaction that takes place in the body. And that's how the polygraph works, right? There's a reaction that takes place when you tell a lie or the truth. Now, what happens is when the way that we test animals typically is we'll have one person touch the animal and then hold out their arm. And then what we'll do is we'll actually talk to the animal and ask yes or no questions. And the person that is touching the animal, their outstretched arm will either stay strong if the answer coming out of the animal is yes, or it'll go weak for no. And I know that this sounds funny, but I'm telling you, it works. And And of course, I just take it for granted. We've been doing this for so long. Animals have a subconscious mind just like people do.
Dr. Nelson, and, let me interrupt you for a moment. It sounds amazing. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, let's move from the animal kingdom back to the world of humans and talk more about some of the circumstances that can result in trapped emotions. We've touched on some of them. And then I want you to really walk us through what kind of damage those emotions, those trapped emotions, can cause physically. We're going to take a break, folks, and when we return, continue the conversation with Dr. Bradley Nelson, author of The Emotion Code. Don't go away. Dr. Nelson, we're continuing to talk, obviously, about trapped emotions. Let's just go back to the list of some of the circumstances that can result in trapped emotions, because I think that some will make perfect sense to folks, but others they might be kind of surprised about. I'm actually looking at your book as we speak. I don't know if you have a copy in front of you. Do you have a copy there?
Okay, great.
Okay. Dr. Nelson, there are circumstances that are more likely, perhaps, than others to result in trapped emotions. Some of them make easy sense to understand, but some of them, I think, are kind of surprising. Can you share with us some of the circumstances that often result in trapped emotions?
Sure. Well, straight out of the book, some of these are, I think, are going to be really obvious. Loss of a loved one, divorce, relationship problems, breakups, financial hardship, home or work stress, miscarriage or abortion, physical trauma, physical or emotional combat, physical, mental, verbal, or sexual abuse, negative self-talk, negative beliefs about yourself or others, long-term stress, rejection, physical illness, feelings of inferiority, internalization of feelings, neglect or abandonment. Of course, that's a partial list. I mean, there are so many different circumstances that we all go through. They're different for all of us. And we experience so many emotions all the time. And it's a great blessing, I believe, that we experience emotions. We learn from them and so on. Without emotions, our life would just be a flat gray line. It wouldn't be worth living.
Let me ask you this about these the circumstances. You're right. I mean, many of them, if you think about it for half a second, it makes complete sense. But the negative self-talk and negative beliefs about yourself and others, you know, we live in a world, as you well know, where negative talk, quite frankly, is almost the order of the day. Negative self-talk, I just think as a people, we're so used to it. And yet what you're saying is that this negative self-talk, not only does it have an impact on you emotionally, but you're saying that there's a physical impact as well, and that, in fact, it's very powerful. I guess that's what I want to get to, the power of negative self-talk. Can you speak to that?
Yes, very, very powerful indeed. In fact, what I have found is over the last 27 years of working with people all over the world, what I have found is that emotional baggage is the single biggest common denominator for all the illnesses that we suffer from, whether they're physical or mental or emotional. The symptoms that we experience, the physical pain, the malfunction, the problems with organs, the cancer, every cancer, for example, that I've seen 27 years now has always, cancer always has emotional baggage. Now, of course, if you go to Western medicine, you get chemo and radiation. But what's really going on, what I like to do is I like to figure out what the underlying cause is. You see, I believe that when the body expresses symptoms, whatever those symptoms might be, there are underlying causes. And the number one most common underlying cause is actually emotional baggage. And let me explain to your listeners how this actually works.
Okay, great.
You see, what happens is, if you look at your hand looks pretty solid, you know, and it looks familiar. But if you magnified your hand 100 times, it would look totally different. If you magnify it 1,000,000 times, you'd be looking face to face with a single individual atom. Now, if you could look inside that atom, you'd see that there's really almost nothing in there. It's just almost entirely empty space. And then there's some little infinitesimally tiny energies that are zipping around at the speed of light in there. And that's really what we are. That's what you are. We're beings of pure energy. Now, when you're feeling an intense emotion, at the quantum level, what's going on is there's this new vibration that's happening with you. And you might be feeling it as anger or resentment or sadness or grief or whatever it is. But sometimes, for some reason, what happens is, if that emotion is powerful enough, the energy of that emotion will get stuck somehow in the body. So that after the bully moves away, or you quit that job, or you get the divorce, or whatever it is, or the breakup ends, and so on, what ends up happening is you end up having emotional baggage, and we refer to this emotional baggage, we call it trapped emotions. Now, a trapped emotion is literally a ball of energy, emotional energy, from about the size of a baseball to about the size of a cantaloupe, and these will lodge in the body someplace. Now, the fascinating thing about this is these things, these trapped emotions, affect us in two very specific ways. They affect us physically. Why? Because wherever that ball of emotional energy lodges in your body, the tissues within that little sphere of energy are being distorted, because these trapped emotions distort the normal energy field of the body. And because that's really all your body is, ultimately, is just an energy field, they're distorting the tissues of the body themselves. And so what's happening is the chemical reactions taking place in that little ball of anger, within that ball of resentment or sadness, whatever it is, chemical reactions are being interfered with. The flow of energy through that area is interfered with. Blood flow is interfered with to some extent. And so what happens is these things affect us physically. And so what I have found is that 90% of all the physical pain that people experience is actually due to their emotional baggage. I can take 10 people that are in acute physical pain, and I can release emotional baggage from 9 of them, and their pain will lessen dramatically or completely disappear. And I can do that within about 5 minutes for each one of them. And I can do it all day long. And so can the, you know, thousands of people that that are using this work all over the world. But these things affect us in another way, too. And that is a fascinating thing. But think about this. Remember that an emotion that's trapped in the body is literally a ball of emotional energy. And it is vibrating at its specific vibrational rate. This is what we believe. And so, well, if you have a trapped emotion of anger, what's happening is part of your body is actually feeling that emotion on a continual basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so, as a result, what happens is, let's say that the emotion is anger.
Okay.
By the way, we all have these. We all have a variety of these. But let's say you have a trapped emotion of anger. What happens then is, if a situation arises where you might tend to feel angry, you will tend to feel angry much more easily, much more readily than you otherwise would. Why? Because literally part of your body is resonating at that frequency 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I see.
Let me give you an example of this. I had a man came in to see me for back pain many years ago, very severe. On the 0 to 10 scale, he was a 9. I tested him, and actually it happened to be a trapped emotion of anger, so I remembered this story. And I released the trapped emotion of anger, and the pain was just gone. It went from a 9 to a 0, boom, just like that, which to him was just astonishing. And I was starting to get used to it at the time. And now, of course, we've been doing this for so many years, it's old hat. But the interesting thing was he came back to me a couple days later, and he said, you know, my back has been fine since you released that emotion of anger. But he said, I had another problem I did not tell you about when I came in here. And the problem was that I have had this anger issue. He said, I've been anger management a few times, never helped me. He said, it's just how I am. I'm always yelling at my wife and my kids. I got to watch the road rage, the whole thing. I'm always on edge. But he said, since you released that emotion of anger from me, I just feel relaxed. I don't feel angry anymore. How does that work? And at the time, Pamela, I said, well, I really don't know, because I really didn't know. I had no idea. But that's what we believe is going on. And this is the reason why, you see, when we release a trapped emotion, we're releasing the physical effect, that invisible physical distorting effect that the trapped emotion's causing, but we're also releasing that energy so that the body is no longer feeling that emotion in that area. It's a strange and a fascinating thing, but it's true.
Are there likely places in the body where particular emotions, if they're going to be trapped, will reside?
I mean, any emotion. Yeah, that's a great question. Did I cut you off? Sorry.
No, that's all right. Please answer.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Any emotion can lodge anywhere in the body. They're more likely to lodge in an area where you may have some kind of maybe a little injury or some trauma that's happened, or maybe some kind of a weakness, maybe an infection or something. They're more likely to lodge in those areas. They're more likely to lodge in the trunk of the body than the limbs. But then they're also often found to lodge in areas that have some kind of a metaphysical significance. So, for example, if you develop a trapped emotion of resentment because you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, it's likely that that emotion will actually lodge in one of the shoulders or in the neck. Okay.
I see.
Yeah. So you never know. Any emotion can lodge anywhere. But to give you an idea, there's a story that I wrote about in the Emotion Code book. There was a man who came in to see me who had this really severe tennis elbow. His arm was in a sling. And, of course, I was trained as a chiropractor. I started working with him and realigning things and trying to fix his tennis elbow. And I got nowhere. So after a week or 10 days or so of working with him, I thought I would try a new approach. So I started to check to see if there was any emotional baggage that he had, any trapped emotions. And the answer that came back was yes. And the fascinating thing was the trapped emotions that he had had all developed during the time he was in high school. Now, here's the fascinating thing. He was on the high school tennis team. And so he was incurring what you might call micro trauma to those muscles in the elbow, in the tennis elbow area. And during those same years that he was playing on the tennis team, he was dating different girls, and he got dumped apparently by a lot of girls because I think there were five or six emotions in there and affecting his arm, causing this pain. Now, this guy could not turn the key to start his car.
Oh, my.
It was the worst case of tennis elbow that I'd ever seen, and he was just totally immobilized. But the amazing thing was each time I would release a trapped emotion, the pain level would decrease significantly. And it was so funny because, you can find out what's going on or what created the emotions. And with him, every single one of these trapped emotions was grief or sadness or something. And each one was about a different girl who had actually broken up with him. And his wife was sitting there, and I'm asking him these questions, and he's thinking, well, let's see, was it Susie? And I'm testing, no. Was it Cheryl? Oh, yes, it was Cheryl. And his wife's rolling her eyes. But when we got to the very last one and released it, the pain in his elbow was completely gone. I mean, completely gone. Not only was he able to have full range of motion and everything in there, but even when I would press in on those muscles that were excruciatingly, exquisitely painful before, there was no pain whatsoever. Now, this happened many years ago, and it was another thing, another circumstance that taught me how powerful this emotional energy is. You see, we're now in the 21st century, and it's time for us to realize that the human body is an energy field. It's the best way to take care of our body, you see, is really a way that recognizes that. And of course, methods of energy medicine have been around longer than anything else. I mean, acupuncture, for example, that's a method of energy medicine. It works, or it wouldn't still be around. But the emotion code, which is this simple method, it's the book, and it's this simple method of finding and getting rid of this baggage, is just so powerful, yet it's so simple that really anybody can do it.
Well, what you're talking about conceivably turns medicine on its ear.
Well, you know, there's always going to be a need for medicine. I mean, this doesn't take the place of medicine. In fact, when I was in practice, people who would come in to see me who were taking chemotherapy or radiation for cancer or doing whatever other treatments, I never interfered with any of that. I would work with their doctors. But what I would do is simply release the emotional baggage and other imbalances that were going on that were imbalancing the body, that were in the body's way of getting well. You see, the power that created the body is the same power that heals the body. And typically what happens to people is that they have imbalances that are in the way, the most common form of imbalance being emotional baggage. And when you get rid of that emotional baggage, a lot of things can change. In fact, I got a testimonial not too long ago from a woman named Luana. She said the relief is unexplainable, to the point of shedding tears of joy for the release of carrying such heavy burdens for so many years. What a wonderful feeling of relief that I never dreamed would come true. Now think about this. We all have emotional baggage, and
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what it's doing to us. It is always present. Emotional baggage is always an underlying cause of disease. In my experience, every disease process that I've seen in 27 years working with people all over the world, there's always emotional baggage there. Now, that's not the only cause of disease, but it's always there. And I have seen cases where I believe emotional baggage absolutely was the only underlying cause of that person's cancer or this person's problem or this woman's infertility or whatever. And getting rid of that baggage just is such a simple thing, and anyone can do it, and yet it frees the body to be able to function how it was designed. And I'll tell you something else. When you get rid of enough of your emotional baggage, it's almost like stepping out of this old suit that you've been walking around in all these years and stepping out of that into this whole new state of beingness that is much closer to who God really intends for you to be in this world. You see, that's what I believe. That's how I look at it.
So, you know, as you're describing it, you know, I'm thinking about it. It's old, and I don't even know if it's still around. But sometime back there was a print ad, and it was somebody unzipping a heavy outer layer of body. And sort of coming free, and you know it was an ad for a weight loss product. But I mean, that sounds like it's kind of what you're describing, that you literally are able to step away from the weight of the painful emotions that you have perhaps unknowingly been carrying for years.
Right, absolutely right. And the beauty of this work is that this is not some kind of talk it out sort of therapy at all. What we know is that when you have a trapped emotion, there's a ball of energy there, and we've identified the process that you have to go through to be able to release that energy, which most people, when they find out how to do this, they can find and release a trapped emotion in about a minute. So it doesn't take a long time. It's very simple. And what happens is a lot of people add it on to the work that they're currently doing. Let me share a testimony with you.
Let me ask you to do this. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, share that testimony with us. And then I'd like to talk to you about the heart brain and the heart wall.
Absolutely.
Folks, again, we are going to take a break. You are listening to a conversation with Dr. Bradley Nelson, author of The Emotion Code, and he's really talking about a way to help you release so much of the pain, the emotional pain that so many of us carry and believe we're stuck with. Today's guest is saying you're not stuck. There's a very easy way to release yourself from that weight. We'll be right back. Thank you. Brad, you were going to tell us about a testimonial that you received.
Yes, we get these all the time, but this is one that came from one of our practitioners named Justin, who's in Romania. He said, Mark was a professional singer, and he was having difficulties recording in the last months. He kept saying his voice was not the same. He was obsessed by having a lump in his throat for which he constantly received antibiotics from his medical doctor. I told him that we can try a different approach, and he agreed. The first emotion that came out was disgust from 6 months ago, related to his fiance, and it was lodged in the larynx. And what happened 6 months ago, he burst into tears, saying that was the time when he discovered she was cheating on him. At that time, he remembered that from the same period, he started having voice problems. After we released about four emotions related to that event, he was feeling way better, and the same day he went into the studio and recorded flawlessly. So there are all kinds of applications for this, you see, because the symptoms that we experience aren't just physical pain or symptoms. They're not just emotional symptoms. Sometimes a symptom is actually that you're picking the wrong kind of person for a mate over and over. The underlying causes for that are usually emotional baggage. Sometimes your problem is that it seems like your bank account has holes in it and you can't seem to hang on to money or make money, or you can't seem to create the life that you want. That's from emotional baggage. So, you see, this is really the elephant in the living room in Western medicine. And there's always going to be a need for Western medicine, but this is just a beautiful, simple tool that anyone can learn, and it can really change your life. Now, let me shift gears for you here, and let's talk about the heart.
Okay.
Because this is the most important part of the emotion code. Well, first of all, let me explain. Ancient peoples believed the heart to be the seat of the soul, the source of creativity and love and romance, and really the core of our being. And, of course, in Western medicine, we've never paid any attention to that. We've just believed that the heart is just a muscular pump. It pumps blood. That's all it does. But back in the 1960s, when we started doing heart transplants, we started finding some strange things. People would come back after having a heart transplant, and they would report strange things. They would say things like, you know, my handwriting has totally changed, or my taste in music or sports or food totally changed. Or they'd say, I have memories of places that I have never been, and I know that I've been there. Am I losing my mind? Well, when they would connect up with the family of the heart donor, they would find out in every case that, yes, the heart donor, our son or our daughter, she had been to those places where you have memories of. And, yes, she loved baseball and eating hot dogs at the baseball game, just like you do now. Or she loves classical music, or he was really into sports or this or whatever. And, oh, my gosh, that's my son's handwriting that you have now. I mean, if that doesn't make your hair stand up,
absolutely,
I don't know what will.
That data,
right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, what's happened here is that in about the last 15 or 20 years, we've started to understand that there's far, far more going on with the heart than we ever realized before. Now, there are whole books written about this phenomenon of cellular memory.
Yes.
That I was referring to. But they've done studies now with there's a new device called a magnetocardiogram that measures the magnetic field of the heart, a very sensitive machine. And they found that the heart puts out an energy field that is about 12 feet in diameter, and making it by far the most powerful organ in the body. Now, they've also found that when one person is feeling love or affection for another person, their heartbeat will become measurable within moments in the magnetic brain waves of that person that they're focusing love or affection on. Think about that. There is an energy that is going from your body to another person's body when you feel love or affection for them. And fascinating thing. Well, what I have discovered, what was shown to me a number of years ago, is that when we go through that experience that we call heartache, or when we feel like our heart is going to break, that is really an assault on the core of our being. And that's why, if you've ever felt like your heart was going to break, you know it's a physical sensation, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You ever felt that, Pamela? Okay. Well, most people have.
Yeah.
And the subconscious mind doesn't like that, you see. And so what it will do is it will put up a wall around that heart to protect the heart from being totally broken. And that wall is literally made of your emotional baggage. Some of that emotional baggage that you've been carrying around all your life just gets moved and gets formed into this heart wall. And I never would have imagined that this goes on. But 93% of people have a heart wall.
93%. So with this wall that is essentially energy, but negative energy, am I understanding this correctly? It's negative energy.
Yes, absolutely. Negative energy.
That unknowingly we are keeping alive. And by being able to release that, it actually allows us, our heart, our whole being, to breathe, it sounds like, in a very different way.
Well, yes, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing about this was, you see, my wife, I discovered this on my wife. She had a dream a number of years ago. And as I was trying to help her interpret this dream that she'd had, I suddenly had what I can only describe to you as a waking vision, where suddenly before me, I saw this beautiful hardwood floor. And this lasted for several minutes. And at the same time that I'm seeing this floor, I have this understanding that comes into my mind that my wife's heart is underneath. This is no idea what this means. And I told her what I was seeing and understanding. And I had never had anything like this happen before in my life. But this came from up above. This had to be shown to someone, and it was shown to me. Well, when she was 2 years old, we found she had started to put up this wall around her heart. It was a totally subconscious thing. But she was in a very volatile family. Her father was a rageaholic. You know, it was very unsafe. And so the price that she paid for having this wall around her heart all of her life was it was easy for her to feel negative emotions, but hard to feel positive ones. It was difficult for her to really make friends on a deep level. It was hard for her to really connect with people. And no matter what group she was with, even people that she'd known for her whole life, she always felt like she was on the outside looking in. And it took us a couple of weeks of releasing these emotions from that heart wall. And when that last emotion was finally gone, suddenly she felt like she was on the inside looking out, like she finally belonged for the first time in her life. One of the next people, I think it was actually the next person that I saw who had a heart wall. This story is in the Emotion Code book.
Yes, I know.
Because this is so interesting. This woman told me, this woman came in to see me. She was 38 years old. She was a nurse, and she had neck pain that she'd seen a couple of doctors for. They couldn't seem to figure it out, so she came in to see me. And as I was talking with her, taking a history and so on, she told me that she was basically celibate. She had not dated in 8 years, and she was never going to date again. And she was dead serious. And I said, well, what happened to you? Why do you feel that way? And she said that 8 years before, she was really deeply in love with this guy who dumped her and broke her heart, right? And so I tested her and found, sure enough, that she had a heart wall. Now, remember, 93 people out of 100 have one. So
okay.
If you're listening to this show right now, you probably have a heart wall. Anyway, I started working on her heart wall. We found there were three emotions making up this wall around her heart, this invisible wall. And I was able to release those emotions. They all had to do with this breakup that she'd gone through. And suddenly, when I got rid of the heart wall, the neck pain was gone. And didn't have to touch her neck at all. It was totally fine. And so I didn't see her again. She didn't come back. Well, 3 months later, she comes back into the office. And I'll always remember this. I said, hey, you look great. How are you? What's going on? I haven't seen you for a while. She said, you know, my neck's been fine since I was here. But she said, you cleared that heart wall for me, and that really works. She said, about 2 weeks after I was here, I found out my childhood sweetheart has been living right around the corner from me for almost 8 years.
That's
and we're dating and we're in love, and I think he's going to ask me to marry him, you know. Now, I got an email recently from a woman, 85 years old, who told me that she has never had a happy moment in her entire life. She had you know, just a horrific life. Didn't know what it meant to feel happy, didn't know what it meant to feel joy. Until her heart wall was removed, she said that now at 85 years old, She walks around all day with a smile, can't wipe the smile off of her face. She's still feeling joy for the first time in her life. She just wishes that she would have found out about this a long time ago. Now, if you think about this, you see, our creative ideas are actually in that heart brain. You see, we each have two brains. We've got a brain in our head that's really just kind of the analog computer, but who we really are, the core of our being, really resides in the heart. That's really who we are. And I believe that every single person in this world has a perfect creation, a perfect blueprint for their life, if you will, that is locked up inside of that heart. And how do you manifest that? You know, Steve Jobs spoke at Stanford in 2004, I think it was, and said, somehow you got to follow your heart. Somehow your heart knows what your best creation is going to be. And I think he was one of those people that didn't have a heart wall. You look at all he was able to do, but 90 people in this world have a heart wall. And when that wall is removed, listen to the kind of thing that happens. Here's a testimonial. I don't have a name on this one. This woman didn't send in her name, but here's what she said.
Okay.
After having her heart wall removed, she said, "Where I have spent more money than I like to think about in the last 21 years in my quest for happiness has been done in this short period. After yesterday, my struggle is finally over, and I truly feel free, free to just love and be. Now I can dance naked in my own living room, and if I like, I can jiggle it and giggle it, having sex with my husband with abandoned joy, and let me tell you, he's one happy fella." She ripped her name off, but I thought it was hilarious.
That is absolutely a great testimonial. So, but what I'm hearing you say is that it kind of sounds like you're saying that if you are breathing, you could possibly have a wall up, a heart wall. You are mm-hmm. likely to be carrying some sort of emotional baggage that you are not stuck with, that there really is hope, and it's actually hope that is sort of wrapped up in a very ancient practice that we're talking about now and learning about now, which a much broader understanding. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, absolutely. And, you know, this work is so, it's so powerful, really, and it's so profound. But you see, the thing is, I don't take any credit for this. I just happen to be in the right place at the right time. I was the person chosen for some reason, probably because I'm a bit of a ham and I have a big mouth. I like to tell people about the truth, and I'm not afraid of it. I like to just get the word out. And so somehow the higher power picked me to do this. But this work is really, it's going to change the whole world. You know, there's so many amazing stories. Listen to this one. Here's from a guy named Thomas in Australia. He said, "In the past, I've done a lot of work on myself, but could only get so far, and still I knew that there was something missing. 2 weeks ago, I did work on my heart wall, and released it." He says there were 7 emotions. He found 4 inherited emotions over a period of 2 days. Now, we often inherit emotions as well from our ancestors, and you can find those and get rid of those as well with the emotion codes. Here's what he said. He said, "Within a week, I was off my antidepressants and on the internet looking to start more emotion code learning with a renewed enthusiasm."
Just extraordinary.
Changing people's lives. I'm sorry?
I was saying it's just extraordinary.
Well, it really is. And what's so great about it is that you can do it yourself. Now, if you want someone to do this with you, we have about 2,500 certified practitioners now in about 60 countries around the world. And the fascinating thing about this, to stretch everyone's mind a little bit more, this work is the purest form of energy work. And energy work is totally different from taking some kind of a medication. Energy work can be done at any distance. So the vast majority of our thousands of practitioners actually work with people in other countries all over the world that they may never even meet in person. And yet, it works just as well at a distance as it does in person. So think about that.
It's absolutely extraordinary. Brad, unfortunately, we have pretty much used up all of our time today, but I would like to ask you to share a website or a way that folks can be in touch and learn more about the Emotion Code.
Well, of course, you can buy the Emotion Code soft cover on Amazon.com, or you can go to Barnes & Noble, other bookstores. But if you'd like to download the book on audio, I have a special gift for your listeners. If you go to Emotion Code Gift, that's Emotion Code Gift, G-I-F-T, EmotionCodeGift.com, you can download a free copy of the Emotion Code as a PDF. It's the full book. You can read it right on your computer or on your iPad or iPhone, whatever. But you can also, at that same site, EmotionCodeGift.com, you can download the book on audio. It's a 10-chapter book, and there are 10 MP3 downloads there. You can download it, start listening to it and reading it. And that's my free gift to you. We don't want there to be any block in the way, financial block or anything else, so that you can start learning this and doing it. And you can always buy the soft cover whenever you want, but this is my free gift to you. And it may just change your whole life like it's changing other people's lives all over the planet.
That, what an amazing gift. EmotionCodeGift.com. Thank you very much for that, Brad. That is absolutely wonderful.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're so welcome. And, you know, it's a fascinating thing, but I'll tell you, Pamela, I believe that everything that's happened to me in my life, all the experiences, all the knowledge, all the spiritual experiences, have prepared me to bring this work into the world at a time when the world really needs it.
Indeed.
It really doesn't have anything to do with me, except I'm just the teacher. I'm here to show people what they can do themselves. It's so empowering. It's really amazing.
Well, you know, your joy with being able to express this and describe this and explain this absolutely comes through. So I thank you for your work and for your joy and for your gift. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on and giving me a chance to get the word out about this. That's my mission. I know what I'm supposed to do. So that's good.
We may have to have you back again. Thank you again. And folks, thank you for joining me on this edition of Mind Talk. Mind Talk is brought to you daily as an educational public service, and it is not intended to replace any work that you might choose to do with a licensed medical, mental health, or other professional. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26x2 Communications, and it is available to you on demand 24/7 by going to myndtalk.org, or you can simply go to iTunes and download the Mind Talk app. If you would like to be in touch with me directly, you can send an email to Pamela@mindtalk.org. That is a confidential email address. Only I will see it. So again, that's Pamela@myndtalk.org. And folks, remember always, if it's unacceptable, well, it's unacceptable. Take care.